2 Peter, chapter number 1. And I want to begin reading with verse number 14. Read a few verses down through here. Peter said, "Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For we received from God the Father honor, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Wow. Our Father, we bow in your divine presence. Oh Lord, again this morning, thanking you, Father, for all your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for your love and for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your salvation. We ask you now, Father, that you'd bless these that are bowed with us. Lord, you know every heart and every life that's here among us. We pray, Lord, that if there be one here that's not ever been saved, Lord, I pray that today be the day, Lord, that you'd convict them of their sins and draw them with an altar of repentance. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that you'd have your way with us. Lord, move on us as your Spirit, Lord, move in our souls. We ask you, Father, now that you'd go with us, anoint us afresh with fresh oil. Yes. Give us power to preach one more time. Right. Lord, I pray for liberty for just a little while. Yes. Take us and use us now for your glory and for your honor. And what you do for us, we'll be careful to thank you. And we'll give you praise and glory for all that you do. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen and amen. I want to talk to us this morning, if God will help me, for just a few minutes on Peter's testimony. I want to talk to us on Peter's testimony. A testimony is precious. I want to say that first of all. It's precious when a child of God has a testimony. Amen. Now, when you're saved by the grace of God, he gives you that testimony. I'm glad I've got one. Amen. I can't tell yours, and neither can you tell mine. It's my testimony, and it's sure this morning in my life and in my heart today. And now those that are not saved, those that have never had an experience of grace, you do not have a testimony of the Lord. I remember when I was about 14 years old, I had went into a church and sat down about in the back of the service and in back of the building, and the service got real high, and folks began to tell about their saving grace, and I got to tell them about what the Lord had done for them, and it stirred my heart, and I got to thinking, you know, I want to get up and say something good about God, and I really did. I got to feeling good that folks was bragging on the Lord and telling about when the Lord saved them. And I turned and asked my friend, I said, will it be all right if I get up and say a few things about God? And he said, you can't get up. I said, well, why? He said, because you never have been saved. He said, you don't have a testimony. I'm going to tell you, my heart sunk. It sunk. I mean, way low. A testimony happens when somebody dies. Amen. And the Bible teaches that. And those that are saved by the grace of God, they die out to the love and the practice of sin, and they're resurrected from the dead, and they give their testimony of that experience of grace that how the Lord had given them. Mine's precious to me. Amen. And I'm sure that yours is precious to you this morning. And how you wouldn't trade it for mine, and I wouldn't trade it for yours. Amen. And now Peter, I had a great testimony. Peter, I was a great man of God. Although you can find in the readings of Peter and the readings about Peter, how oftentimes Peter was one of those apostles that spoke rather than listened. And a lot of times he spoke out of character, and how you'd find him sticking his foot in his mouth. Often in times when he was a younger apostle, you could tell that sometimes he really didn't understand what had happened to him. And I want to tell you, I may not have understood everything that ever happened to me, but there's one thing that I do know, that once I was blind, now I see. Once I was lost, now I'm found. Amen. That I have been saved by the grace of God. And if you've ever been born again, you have that sure testimony in your heart and in your life. Now Peter, as he begins to pen down his final words here, and he begins to tell them his testimony, and in hopes that when he's deceased and gone on to be with the Lord, that that in this testimony might stir them in days to come. And he said, and always, he said, I think it meet as long as I'm in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. And then he begins to tell them about that testimony. And now he tells in verse number one who gave him this testimony. He said, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of faith and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And he begins to relate this testimony from the very founder of it. He says that it came from God and through the Lord Jesus Christ, his only Son. And so he begins to relish over his testimony. It's not of any good works that he's done. It's not any good works that you and I can do. And we've got nothing to boast about in ourselves, and we've done nothing to obtain salvation, but Jesus Christ has done it all. Amen. And the Bible tells us, and Peter said, that in the Savior, the Lord Savior Jesus Christ, he said, come with this salvation, grace and peace, and the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. And he says, along with salvation, he says, I add to it. And he said, it was added to me grace and peace. And did you know that being saved is all by grace? The Bible said you're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. And the Lord Jesus Christ then, when he graces us with his salvation, he bestows upon every saved person the peace of God. Amen. I'm glad that I have the peace of God in my heart and in my life. And have they been a lot of storms along the way? Have they been a lot of trouble and trials in them in my life? And but I'm telling you, I can truly stand this morning that through it all we found peace with God, and peace in God this morning. Jesus said that peace is not like the world gives, and they give a false sense of peace, and it only lasts for just a few minutes until the circumstances change. But I'm glad this real peace comes with our salvation. Should anything happen to you, should anything happen to me, we have a sweet peace in our soul that it's going to be all right. And we'll see the dawning of a brighter day one day after a while. Amen. And Peter said, I obtained that salvation. And then he said, while I walked with the Lord, he said, I had some things that walked beside me as I walked with the Lord. He said in verse number four, he said, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. He said that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Amen. I like that wording, don't you? The divine nature. I have an Adamic nature. That Adam man right here that you're looking at this morning and that you can see with a natural eye. But I also in my soul, I inhabit a divine nature. That taking place in my heart when I knelt as a 16-year-old boy in an old-fashioned altar and the Lord Jesus came in and he placed in me his seed. And that seed, hallelujah, obtained the divine nature of God. There's two people lives in this tabernacle. There's the natural man and there's the divine man. Amen. And Peter said with this a divine nature, he said, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And he said, and beside this, and he said, while I walked with the Lord, he said, I had some things alongside me. And the Bible said, and beside this, he said, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And so he says, I have virtue that walks beside me, a moral excellence of goodness. Amen. And that virtue, that Jesus Christ lets me walk in his righteousness. And not in my righteousness, but in his righteousness. Amen. And do you know what happened to America not many years ago? We lost our moral compass. And we no longer have a leading in our morals today. But to a saved person, he has a compass, amen, that is placed on the inside of him. And it's called virtue. And that virtue leads us to a moral walk with God and a moral excellence of walking in God's goodness. And it walks beside us. David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. It's that goodness. It's that mercy. David said, walks with me, and that leads me to the house of God all the days of my life. Woo! Bless his holy name. Peter said, I've got it. It walks beside me. He said, add to that virtue knowledge and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He said in verse 2, he said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. The Bible said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. When we were saved by the grace of God, he put a new mind in us. We no longer think the old way, but we have a new mind. We don't think earthly, we think heavenly. There's a distinct difference between the saved and the unsaved. And it's in the thinking process that makes the difference in us. Amen. Those that are earthly, they mind the things of this man right here. But those that are heavenly, they have the mind of Christ and that thinks on heavenly things. Amen. Things that are above, not things that are below. Peter said, this is walking with me. You remember Enoch? The Bible said, walked with God and was not. Amen. Reckon what he had. He had the same thing Peter is talking about here when he talks about the knowledge of God. How the revelation of God himself came through his son Jesus Christ. We would have never known God had the Lord Jesus, his son, not ever came into the world. We would have had no way to have known him. But Jesus Christ, his son, has come, the expressed image of his father. Amen. And so we have the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ walking with us and the revelation of God. He said, and to knowledge temperance and where to watch that self-control, learning how we ought to behave and how we ought to treat one another. And you know what somebody said integrity is? It's what you do when nobody else is looking.
That's what integrity is. And amen. And so we have this temperance. This temperance is a type of integrity. It's self-control. It's self-discipline. I don't have to always... Listen, friend. I'm glad you can be a Christian on Monday just like you can on Sunday, because we have this temperance walking with us as saints of God. Peter said, that's what makes a difference in me. Amen. Then he comes down and said, with temperance, patience. He said, patience walks with me. I've learned to persevere in all of my troubles and all of my trials. I've learned to stay on the right track. Yeah. Amen. Do you know how come so many people who profess to be saved get off on the wrong track? It's because they will not let this patience walk with them. They'll just fly off the handle and head yonder way. And in just a minute, they'll go yonder way. And in just a minute, they'll go yonder way. And I'm telling you, with patience, you'll stay with the Lord. Amen. You'll persevere. Them that are saved by the grace of God shall persevere to the end. If you find yourself in troubling, always wondering, why don't I like to go to church? Why don't I like to sing those songs? Why don't I like to live right? And why don't I love the church? And I tell you, it's a good evidence that you never did get saved. Amen. And I believe when a person really gets born again, that they'll have the love of God in them, and who'll love the Lord, and who'll love His church, and who'll persevere unto the end of this thing. I worry about folks all the time getting in and out, in and out, in and out. I believe once saved, always saved. Amen. Well, I believe when a person gets born again, he gets the goods. Amen. Amen. If you're trusting in someone that will not get you from here to there, I'd hunt up the Lord Jesus if I was you. I'm glad that He's able, amen, to help us to persevere in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now He says, with perseverance comes godliness. I want godliness to walk with me. Stay in it long enough, y'all. Stay in church long enough. Keep walking in faith long enough. Keep on. You'll get to looking more and acting more and more like Jesus every day. Amen. If you'll take a step and let Him take a step, and you take a step, He'll take a step. And you'll find yourself walking together hand in hand. And the more you walk with Him, the more you'll act like Him. And the more you're going to act like Him, the more you won't act like Him. Makes a difference. Amen. Peter said, I want to be more like Him. Amen. I want to be more like Him. He said, for if these things be in you and abound, He said, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. He said, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Peter had his election sure. He had his testimony sure. Because it come from a more sure word of prophecy. The Word of God. The Bible said, here Peter said this of his testimony. He said, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance of thee. I probably won't be able to leave my two sons very much when I leave this world. I figure my health will probably diminish my wealth. You know what I'm talking about? Because it just ain't much wealth, and there's a whole lot of bad health here. And it looks like it's going to catch it before I get out of here. And I'm not going to be able to leave them much, if any. But there's one precious promise that I can leave them. That when Daddy leaves this walks of life, that he's got a home eternal in heaven. Now, you think about that. I'd rather leave that to my children than anything I know. Can you? Knowing that, now, I've seen it happen before. I've seen parents.